The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on June 13, 1997 in Los Angeles, California. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 32, Verse 8.
Dvīparārdhāvasāneya Pralayo brahmanastute Tāvat adhyāsate lokān Parasya parachintaka Dvīparārdhāvasāneya Pralayo brahmanastute Tāvat adhyāsate lokām Parasya parachintaka Translation by His Divine Grace Śrīla A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupāda. Worshippers of the Hiranyagarbha expansion of the Personality of Godhead remain within this material world until the end of two parārdhas, when Lord Brahmā also dies. Translation with repetition. Worshippers of the Hiranyagarbha expansion of the Personality of Godhead remain within this material world until the end of two parārdhas, when Lord Brahmā also dies. Purport by Śrīla Prabhupāda. One dissolution is at the end of Brahmā's day, and one is at the end of Brahmā's life. Brahmā dies at the end of two parārdhas, at which time the entire material universe is dissolved. Persons who are worshippers of Hiranyagarbha, the plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Garbhodakasayi Vishnu, do not directly approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vaikuntha. They remain within this universe on Satyaloka or other higher planets until the end of the life of Brahmā. Then with Brahmā they are elevated to the spiritual kingdom. The words parasya parachintakaha means always thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or being always Krishna conscious. When we speak of Krishna, this refers to the complete category of Vishnu Tattva. Krishna includes the three Purusha avatars, or incarnations, namely Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, and Kirodakshayi Vishnu, as well as all the incarnations taken together. This is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita. Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyamena Tishtan. Lord Krishna is perpetually situated with His many expansions such as Rama, Narasimha, Vamana, Madhusudhana, Vishnu and Narayana. He exists with all His plenary portions and the portions of His plenary portions, and each of them is as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The words parasya parachintakaha means those who are fully Krishna conscious. Such persons enter directly into the kingdom of God, the Vaikuntha planets, or if they are worshippers of the plenary portion, Garbhodakasayi Vishnu, they remain within this universe until its dissolution, and after that, they enter. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport to the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, 32nd Chapter, 8th Verse. Harihi Om Tat Sat. So now it's going to start describing about the final pralaya or dissolution of the universe. Every time, every day of Brahma, there's a annihilation of the planets, of the lower planets, and a recreation when Brahma wakes up in the morning. However, at that time, all living entities are brought into the body of the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And then again, they are brought out again when Brahma recreates. It mentions that when Narada Muni became liberated but was within the universe, he also, for the night of Brahma, was inside the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. When there is the final dissolution, at that time the living entities who are not liberated, they enter into the Mahavishnu and wait for the next creation to again become active. Where the liberated souls, they go directly back at the end. Those who are devotees here, those who are fully Krishna conscious, those who are worshipping of the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, then they go back. Now in that story, in the fourth canto, when Lord Shiva appeared to the Prachetas, and Lord Shiva is of course worshipped by many of his devotees, and they're all eager to get his darshan, but they couldn't get his darshan. They don't get very easy. But the Prachetas, they never expected the darshan of Lord Shiva, neither did they ask for it, neither did they dream of it in their wildest dream. But he spontaneously appeared out of the Manasarovar water and blessed them. And he stated that the reason why is because he loves Krishna devotees. And Krishna devotees love him. Because he is Vaishnavanam Jata Sambhu, greatest of all the Vaishnavas. And then he proceeded in giving his Krishna mantra that he chants to the Prachetas. And when he was explaining why Krishna devotees are special, he mentions that if somebody performs their constitutional, their occupational duty according to the Varnashram perfectly for 100 births, then they can assume the position of a Lord Brahma. You see, all you have to do is do Varnashram perfectly, 100 births in a row. You too can be a Brahma. And you better hope Kali Yuga doesn't fall in the middle of that, right? So, then he said, if someone's more pious than that, then they can approach me. But then he said, if somebody is fully surrendered to Krishna, then at the end of this life, they can go back directly to the Vaikuntha planets, to the spiritual worlds. So being a devotee of Krishna is so special. Prabhupada said, we shouldn't think even that yet we are fully achieved the position of devotee of Krishna, but we are aspiring to be a devotee of Krishna. Or we are the devotee of Krishna. In fact, in Adi Purana, Krishna says that those who say they're my devotee are not my real devotee, but those who consider themselves to be the devotee of my devotee. When Durvasa Muni went to Krishna in the sixth canto, went to Vishnu to ask him to free him from the curse of from the attack of the Sudarshan Chakra. At that time, Vishnu told him, Aham bhakta paradhino, I am under the control of my devotees. Everybody thinks that Krishna is totally independent, but he's saying, no, Aham bhakta paradhino, I am under the influence of my devotees. I'm trying to please my devotees because my devotees are always trying to please me. You see, so if a devotee requests Krishna, please deliver this fallen soul, then Krishna can do that. Right? I remember in 1970 at a Kumbh Mela, 70-71 was that? And Prabhupada told Maharadvisa, I have made your good fortune. Remember that? I have made your good fortune. So that was Prabhupada's mercy actually. His desire is so great to deliver the fallen souls that we could get picked up. And the Dhruva Maharaj pastimes explains how when Dhruva Maharaj closed the holes of his body in the meditation, when he was meditating on Vishnu, and his focus on Vishnu was so intense, so complete, he became so much in harmony with Vishnu, that when he closed the holes of his body and stopped breathing, the whole universe got an asthma attack. You know, the whole universe couldn't breathe. They felt suffocation. That's how powerful Dhruva's influence was. And the purport that Prabhupada said, from this we can see how if one pure devotee desires to deliver all the conditioned souls in the universe, how Krishna can easily do that to please his devotee. And Srila Prabhupada, he was saying that if he could completely make the world Krishna conscious in 18 days. I said, then why did it happen? Someone asked, I mean, why don't we do it? He says, you won't follow my instructions? Part of it would be everyone had to follow his instructions, then he could do it. We won't follow. So if we very carefully follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions, and if we develop following his footsteps, like Prabhupada, so many times he was asked, what can we do for you, Srila Prabhupada? How can we help you? He said, be Krishna conscious and help others to be Krishna conscious. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy, make others happy. That everyone should take Krishna consciousness, develop love for Krishna, should give Krishna consciousness to others. He said, if you want to repay the debt, that's how you can repay. Of course, he also said that if you want to show how much you love me, you can demonstrate that by how well you cooperate with each other. One time in Mayapur, we were surprised. Suddenly we got a letter from Srila Prabhupada where he said that he was happy at that time that in Mayapur there was more cooperation amongst the devotees than other places in India. Or than other places. And then he mentioned that Maya has her idea and Krishna has his idea. So the only way you can cooperate is when Maya gives her idea, you don't accept it. But when Krishna gives his idea, you accept it. So you want to, two people are going to be talking in both ears, Maya and Krishna. Now who do we want to listen to? That's always up to us to choose. The different people have different opinions about things. When Lord Chaitanya came back after getting initiated, and he was chanting Hare Krishna and dancing and crying for Krishna, most of the people couldn't understand what has happened to Namai Pandit.
Hari Hari Namo Krishna. Sometimes he's falling on the ground, he's saying, Krishna, Krishna, I have gotten Krishna and I lost him. Where is Krishna?
What has happened to him? So Mother Sachi went out calling, Nimai, Nimai. And everyone was looking, where is Nimai? You know, oh, she's looking, but everyone went to her, the whole neighbors, and said, look it. We want to give you some advice. Something has happened to your son. We think his bayu is dislocated. Bayu dosh. Air in the body is somehow gone off. So therefore, you should do something. And one said, yes, you should feed him some tender coconut water. Dab water. Some. That isn't good enough. You gotta put some Ayurvedic oils. Vishnu toila, dasmul toila. You rub it on his head. It'll cool his brain down. No, that won't do. I tell you, it's much more serious than that. You should tie him up with ropes. Don't let him out of the house until he's fully cured. There's no hope for him, you see. Sir. And Mother Sachi wouldn't listen to anybody. What are you saying? Nothing wrong with my son. So like the people were criticizing. So then, one day Lord Chaitanya went to see Srivas Pandit. He asked, could I just ask you a question, Srivas? Is it alright? Sure, come, sit down. What's the matter? Srivas, you are a senior Vaishnava. You're very experienced in Krishna consciousness, Krishna bhakti. I just want to ask you one question. Is it alright? No, please, tell me. My dear Srivas, after I got initiation, when I was chanting Hare Krishna, something is happening to me and I laugh and I cry and tears are coming in my eyes, feeling very different. And everybody is saying, so many people in the town are saying that I have a disease. I want to know, is it true that I have a disease? And Srivas thought, and he looked real grave. I said, yes, you have a disease. And Lord Chaitanya was very, very serious, you know, like, he was waiting to hear more, and then Srivas said, yes, you have a disease, and I also want that disease. Then he could pick up, you know, why would anybody want a disease? And so he's playing joke on me. You have the disease of love for Godhead, Krishna Prema, Srivas told him. Even Brahma, Shiva, they want that disease. You are very fortunate. Lord Chaitanya said, well, when you told me I had disease, I thought, if all this ecstasy that I'm feeling is simply an illusion, then what is the use of living? I was thinking, I'll just take my life in the Ganges. There's no use of continuing. If all this is not absolute truth. So you've saved my life. I'm so grateful. Actually, that just reminded me. I just got a letter from someone in South Africa. They were saying that our temple is so nice, so ecstatic. We had the kirtan after the Guru Puja went on for 2 hours. And I felt so happy. I was so happy. I wondered, because we know in Bhagavad Gita it says, Sitoshna Sukha Dukha, we have to be very tolerant. Am I committing any offense by being so happy? I said, no, we're supposed to get Panam Dvistva Nivartante, we're supposed to get the higher taste. If you're happy chanting Hare Krishna, there's no problem. That's the happiness we want everyone to have. You should be so happy chanting Hare Krishna that you won't be worrying about the Sitoshna Sukha Dukkata, all the happiness and the suffering that's going on due to the contact with the senses. So, it's all right to be happy in Krishna consciousness. Everyone should be happy. In fact, if we're not happy, then something's wrong. We should be satisfied in our devotional service. So anyway, then Srivas told Lord Chaitanya that, you see, the general people, they're not going to understand your happiness. Because they only know happiness means, you know, the senses, the skin rubbing against something, that's happiness. They don't understand what is the happiness coming from the heart, coming from the spirit soul. And that's what really is unfortunate, isn't it? So many people, look at Los Angeles, so many nice people here, but they're all after the sense gratification on the level of the skin. They're being deprived from the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, where they could be experiencing the real, unadulterated, pure, transcendental happiness coming from the spiritual platform. In the Navadip Mahatmya, Lord Nityananda, he says that, I want to give the world pure, unadulterated happiness. Nirit Sukh. Nirit Ananda. No mixing, he said. In the material world, all happiness has got the mix. Like Prabhupada said, sweet rice with the sand. How many would like to have the sweet rice with the sand prep? Right? It's not very something we look forward to. But Prabhupada said, that's what this material happiness is. Something sweet taste, but the sand, you know, how can you eat this? It's got sand in it. That's what we're trying to figure out. How can they eat it? It's got sin. Because they don't have anything else. Right? If that's all you've been given from your very birth, the sweet right with sin, you might think, well, this is sweet, you know, this is the way it is, right? Then you finally get sweet rice without sand. Wow, this is a really good preparation. I didn't know it was like this. Yeah. So until you can give people the taste for happiness that's not dependent upon sense gratification, they really can't figure out what we're talking about. It's completely out of their dictionary, out of their paradigm. So Lord Nityananda, our process is give people spiritual bliss. Until we can get them to chant Hare Krishna or do some devotional service with enough absorption that they can actually experience some spiritual happiness, then practically speaking, there's hardly any use of trying to introduce rules and regulations with them. Unless they're very scholarly and they really read the books and they've come to Krishna because of jnana. But if they're just a normal inquisitive lot, or people that are coming because they're in need of something, well, they really need to get the higher taste. And even the jnanis need the higher taste to get up. Then, according to Rupa Goswami, yena tena prakarena krishna mana nivosate, somehow or another get them attached to Krishna, then gradually you introduce the rules and regulations. You can't expect somebody to walk off the street first time they got the card from the book distributor and he comes in, the first thing you tell him is shave up. That happened. In the French Quarter in New Orleans, there's a magician there with long hair and he plays, does magic and gets, so the devotees see him on Sankirtan, they ask him, why don't you come for the Sunday feast? The very first Sunday, the only time in his life he came. As soon as he walked in, somebody, some immature devotee walk up to him and said, you should shave up. That was the first, that was the last. Can you imagine going to the Catholic Church and somebody said, you should become a priest right now. Take off these clothes. Put on the frock. Take a vow of celibacy for your whole life. How many people would go to the Roman Catholic Church, right? You have to preach according to time, place, and circumstance. And according to Rupa Goswami, who is the person who has understood what Lord Chaitanya wants, Si Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayang Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. First we should get them attached to Krishna. Let them like Krishna. Love Krishna. At least like Krishna. Get them to taste what Krishna is. They get a little attached to Krishna. And according to their attachment, then you get them to surrender. More and more and more. This is very natural. That's what the preachers are there to get them attached. Tell them about Krishna. Let them chant. Let them take prasadam. Let them associate with the devotees. And they finally see, this is wonderful. This is a wonderful association. This is a wonderful process. So, but why I'm not always happy? Why I feel happy here when I go outside, I don't feel happy? Because it's like elephant bath. You're coming here taking your bath, elephant takes the bath. When he goes out of the water, he takes the dirt and throws it on his back. Now you should maintain a pure standard of living, you'll always be happy. Oh really? Okay, it makes sense. So if we preach in a kind of strategic manner, as Rupa Goswami has told us to do, and as Prabhupada has given so many detailed instructions, then it's quite easy for people to accept Krishna consciousness. We have the greatest philosophy. Why isn't everybody accepting? It's obviously we have to perfect our marketing technique according to the market. Because the product is there and the process is there. Then why people aren't taking? So what is Lord Nityananda's procedure? He said, I want to make you all happy. I'll give you happiness, pure happiness without any suffering mixed with it. Who wants to be happy? Raise your hands here. Nityananda, Gauranga, Gauranga. Who will refuse that offer, right? This is Lord Nityananda's person. Who will refuse? Only those who are really unfortunate. And Nityananda will still get them too, don't worry. So then you see, Sivas told Lord Chaitanya that these people, they're not going to understand. So let you can come in my garden and you can chant with the devotees and they will appreciate. So that's how the kirtan began in Sivas Angan, in the garden of Sivas Thakur. So Lord Chaitanya wanted to explain to the devotees first why these things were happening to him. So he told Suklambar Brahmachari to please have everybody assemble at his house one morning. And Suklambar Brahmachari, he had a special tree that gave unlimited flowers. So every devotee would go there, get as many flowers. As soon as you took flowers, which is more, would pop out. So it's a great, why go all over the city looking for flowers when you have one tree that gives you everything you need? Wouldn't you like to have such a tree here in New Dwarka? Your flower suppliers would, they'd protect it. They would come and try to cut it down or something. But so Suklambar, he had this wonderful tree. Everybody would go there to get the flowers. And then, this morning, Lord Chaitanya, he came there, Gauranga came, and there was a tamal tree there, and he just started hugging the tamal tree and then crying, Krishna, Krishna, I got Krishna, but I lost him. What does this mean? When did Lord Chaitanya get Krishna? What does this mean? Everybody wanted to know. How many here want to know? Okay. So, Lord Chaitanya revealed that when he came back from Gaya. After getting initiation, he got initiation from Ishwarapuri. He was feeling so much ecstasy. In fact, he did a huge kirtan. He wasn't feeling, he was first pouring the water on the Vishnupad lotus feet of Vishnu that are there in Gaya. And when he started pouring the water during the worship of Krishna, then he started to feel really ecstatic. And he started doing kirtan. He was jumping and dancing. And everybody was amazed because they never saw anybody doing kirtan like that. And after that, then he just ran out of the temple, started running off to Vrindavan. Vrindavan Bihari Lal Bhagavan Shri Krishna Ki! I'm going to Vrindavan! But then there was a voice from the sky. No. Now is not the time to go to Vrindavan. You have to go back to Navadvip and start the Sankirtan movement. Oh. So then Lord Chaitanya, he had turned back and said, all right. Go to Vrindavan later. So he was reminded of his higher calling to go back to Mayapur, Navadvip Dham. Maybe we could move this sloka board now and get the mercy of Nityagora a little bit. And then Lord Chaitanya, he went back, he went, the path in those days was to go to Gaya, from Gaya to Patna, which is known as Pataliputra. And he went to the Gajendra Moksha place, Sunpura, and then from there he went alongside the Ganges to a place called Kanaya Nachala, which is also mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita because that's the place where Narasimha Brahmachari, when he was meditating, he took Lord Chaitanya by meditation up to Kanaya Nachala, and after that he couldn't make any more the pathways that he was making by his meditation. He was meditating on golden paths with trees and cool fountains and jewels on the road and all kinds of things. And he's going, he went to Ramkeli where he met Rupan Sanai. He's meditated the whole thing. He went up, built this beautiful road so Lord Chaitanya could walk very nicely on the road he was making in his meditation. He couldn't get beyond Kanaya Nachala. Said he's not going further than Kanaya Nachala. And sure enough, after meeting Rupa Sanatan, Lord Chaitanya went to Kanaya Nachala. And he decided not to go with so many people. And he told everyone, this is Gupta Vrindavan. This is a hidden Vrindavan. We've reached Vrindavan already. From here I'm going back to Jagannath Puri. So that same Kanaya Nachala that you're also familiar with, which I mentioned a little bit last night, that Kanaya Nachala was, which is right on the bank of the Ganges, and which is got ancient footprints of Radha and Krishna in gigantic stones, which are like Shaligram Shilas. These footprints that were worshipped by Lord Chaitanya, and the footprint of Gorn, which was given also there by Bhakti Siddhanta recently, Saraswati Thakur. That was the place that Lord Chaitanya visited on his way back from Gaya. And when he was there, worshipping Radha and Krishna's lotus feet, he saw a cowherd boy from the distance coming to him. And as he's coming close, he saw he's having yellow garments and having a peacock in his hair and a long garland coming down, touching below his knees, almost touching his lotus feet, bumblebees. The boy was playing on a flute as he got closer because he was blue in color. Sitting closer and closer, smiling and playing on his flute to him. He could see his lotus eyes. He could see the mark of the kastuba, the srivatsa on his chest, the whirl of hair that Krishna has on his chest. It goes in with a little white band of hair in it. And wearing the kastuba moni, the special effulgent jewel that Krishna wears, and the shark earrings, shark-like earrings. It was Krishna. And Krishna, he was coming closer and closer. Lord Chaitanya was just so overwhelmed and loved to see the object of his worship. Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come with the mood of Radharani, and just as Radharani is eager to see Krishna, Lord Chaitanya is so eager to see Krishna. And there Krishna had appeared before him, and Krishna came closer and closer, smiling, and came right up to him and put his arms around Lord Chaitanya and embraced him. And then Lord Chaitanya was just overwhelmed. Being touched by Krishna, smelling Krishna, seeing Krishna. And Lord Krishna, he went off. He backed up, smiling, went backed up, and he ran off. Disappeared from sight. And then Lord Chaitanya became mad. He said, I've gotten Krishna and I lost him. He said, there, I got Krishna and I lost him. I've lost Krishna. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where can I get him again? And he started rolling on the ground there in Suklambar Brahmachari's garden, and he's pulling his hair. Krishna, Krishna. So this place of Kanai Nachala is a place where Lord Chaitanya first got Vipralamba Bhav, Virahi, separation. Our whole movement is based on separation. We're serving Christian separation. We're giving the books out in separation, knowing that it's pleasing for Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya. We're chanting, we're always thinking, feeling separation for Guru, for Krishna. That's the main move. Of course, sometimes we're brought together with devotees and deities. We feel some happiness of reunion, and then after some time we feel separation. That separation is not material suffering. It's not that when we're happy chanting in ecstasy, that's happiness, and we're separation, we're suffering. It's all happiness. It's all transcendental bliss. Because if you told Lord Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that, alright, why you're feeling so much separation? It's like Ramchandra Puri told the Madhavendra Puri, what is all this lamentation? Mathuranata. You should just be, you know, one in the Brahman. Om Santi, 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 Hari Om. Madhavendra Puri could not believe what he was hearing. You know, he's completely absorbed in feeling separation of Krishna in the mood of Radharani. He's coming up. I tell him you should be chanting Om Shanti. You should be peaceful, equanimous. So sometimes people see the picture of Srila Prabhupada and they say, he doesn't look happy. Some of Srila Prabhupada's most profoundly happy, ecstatic moments was when he looked the most unhappy from some material, external point of view. But you could tell it, he wasn't unhappy. It's a special mood which is inconceivable. So those who were with Prabhupada, they knew that how profoundly, transcendentally ecstatic he was. At least they could sense that. But sometimes it's difficult for people that who are used to normal expressions to understand what is that expression. This year maybe I was experiencing like a drop when I was thinking how totally unqualified I am as a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, that after 30 years still there's so much to do to actually become a worthy disciple of Prabhupada and fulfill all the things that he wants ISKCON to do and he wants ordered me to do. And then I was thinking how wonderful all the devotees of ISKCON, still in spite of having absolutely no qualification, Prabhupada somehow allowed me to have all of your wonderful association and the wonderful association of all the devotees that were there this year in the festival. And somehow my heart is really hard at this moment, but at that moment I had a really profound revelation like that, and I was feeling so much moved that how, and I still can't forget that, but still feel like that, that how important all the devotees are to Krishna, to Srila Prabhupada, and how wonderful it is to serve the devotees, and I would hope that I would be able to serve the devotees more and more, even though I'm not so able to do so, but I would like to. So, and then I was feeling, for one moment I was feeling really kind of really humble, overwhelmed, and someone came up to me and said, you're looking very unhappy. It was probably the most happiest moment of my life, and I was really appreciating the devotees, and I was saying, you look very unhappy. I wish I could be unhappy like that always, So, anyway, this place, Kanai Nachala, how many have visited Kanai Nachala? Nobody. I don't know how much percent of your life is. Can you, this place, which is the place of Lord Chaitanya's separation manifesting in the world, can you imagine that by Prabhupada's mercy, a year and a half ago, that place has been given to ISKCON? Yes. Yes. Prabhupada ki. Yes. Kanai Nachala ki. Yes. For hundreds of years, that place has been worshipped by Ramanandi Vaishnavas, who's kind of an offshoot of the Ramanuja Sampradaya, Ram Bhaktas. And somehow they were told that, okay, you can worship the deities as long as you can protect them. But if ever you can't protect them, you have to give them to the most prominent devotees of Lord Chaitanya at that time. So even when Bhakti Siddhanta Saritaka went there and established the lotus footprint, they were doing the worship, and his purport, he mentions this. 3 years ago, their deities were stolen. And then the head acharya, it was like a curse, it's like, this means that we cannot continue the worship. They knew it was like handed down for generations, for centuries. They failed to protect the deity. We have to give them now this place back to Lord Chaitanya's followers. And then he said he was praying, and he came to Mayapur. He said, he told that he had an order from the deity. He was praying, and the deity came to him in the dream and said to give to Srila Prabhupada's followers. That he was a bona fide representative of Lord Chaitanya at this time, and his followers were the most qualified to maintain this place. It was really because I went out of my room in the long building in Mayapur. There's a long building that those who've been there know, where we have some offices at one end. And there I saw this sadhu, real old, long matted hair, big tilak, sitting there down and crunched over. And Prabhupada said we should serve the sadhus. So I said, sir, sadhu Baba, can we offer you any prasadam, something? He said, I only take fruit. Can we offer you some fruit? He said, I took my fruit today already. Okay, then is there any reason? What brings you here? We are very honored by your presence. And I was speaking Hindi because he didn't speak English. And then he showed me a slip, and it said, Dayaram, General Manager. I said, okay, this is his office. You want to wait inside? He has a seat there. I said, well, I'm all right. So finally I told Dayaram, there's some sadhu here wants to see. Turned out he was the guru who came down there to offer us the place. And it took a year to figure out how to do it, because it's been in their name. There's no papers, nothing. It's like it was handed down generation after generation. They had to find some record where some king 300 years ago had signed an edict in the time of the Mughal rule before the British. And that was the... It's amazing. Anyway, so then we got, I had to become his the next Mahant and then give it to ISKCON or something. Anyway, we did all the legalities, and then so this year at after Gaur Purnima, we got deities that were donated by Radhapad Das, and those deities were installed at the Kanainatshala temple. And that was a really wonderful occasion. We didn't wear any big advertisement. 10,000 people came. With the wet clothes, then you're also considered pure. So even non-Brahmanas then can bring water and help with Abhishek. So we're having men, women coming and dipping in and coming up and did the 108. Plus we did all the milk, panchamrita, panchagavya, everything. We did the full men's kirtan, women's kirtan. It says Madhavendra Puri said when he did the re-establishing of Gopal Didi and Govardhan, he had women's kirtan and men's kirtan. So whenever you have Abhishek, this is the opportunity for the ladies to do kirtan. If not that they can't do other time, but especially if it's supposed to be that. So we did this Ishtagosti, we gave out all the services, and then afterwards people were saying that this time it was so wonderful, everyone was just cooperating together, serving. No politics, no doubts, no anything. Just serving, serving, serving. And it was so ecstatic. And then when these deities were installed, we were feeling so much happiness. It was like, you know, we got Krishna. Krishna came and he was smiling so beautifully. Very enchanting smile, beautiful deity of Radharani, Lord Chaitanya, we also added. And then it just so happened that that night was the night that they had scheduled that my party had to leave. So I thought this is like... We just get Krishna. We're losing him. So everybody wants to go back and spend a few days there. At least. If you do have an opportunity, it's only 30 kilometers from Kanainatshala. It's in the very end of Gormandal Bhumi. It's about, by train, it's a couple hours north of Nityananda's birthplace. At that place, because now it's north of the Faraka Dam, the barrage, the Ganges is 6 to 8 kilometers wide there. So, it comes right up to this land, so it's like you're on the side of the ocean of the Ganges. If you are a deep diver, you can dive in and there's no bottom. You can, it's like 100 feet deep or more. If you're not a good swimmer, there's a shallow place you can take your bath. And there's always a breeze there on the top of the hill. But there's something special about that place. Everybody's japa is very clear. It's a very peaceful place. It's very close to where Rupin Sanatan lived, Ramakeli. Anyway, I thought I'd share with you this the pastime of Lord Chaitanya and how we're fortunate that somehow we got this place in ISKCON. So it's like a blessing. The devotees are there worshiping, praying for all the devotees. We can feel more separation for Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So if we can develop this mood of separation now, when we leave our body, we want to be with Krishna, we go right back to Krishna. But if you want to worship the Hiranyagarbha form of the Lord, according to the strict system, then you can take birth in Satyaloka eventually and wait till the end of the second half of Brahma's life. How many would like to take Lord Chaitanya's short route? Hare Krishna. Any question? Thank you very much. How many like to visit Kanainatshala? Hare Krishna. Well, one way is you can, there's a direct train from Howrah to Tin Pahari, three mountain station. And then from there you can either take the train to Tinjari, and from there you can take a Telagari, one of those horse buggies, it's 2 kilometers. Or you can Tell us in advance, and from Tin Pahari we'll have a jeep pick you up and take you there, 10 kilometers. Or you can go to Ramkeli and see near Malda town and see Rupa and Sanatan's temples and Leela place. And from there, it's 30 kilometers to the other side of the Ganges, and there's a ferry that crosses the Ganges to Raj Mahal. And from Raj Mahal, it's 6 kilometers. Or you can drive upstate from Mayapur. Or you can go to Ekachakra and see Nityananda Dam. And from 12 kilometers from Ekachakra, there's a train station called Rampur Hat. And from there, they have trains that go also to this Tinjari. Or next year, I was thinking take a boat and go by launch from Mayapur up there. Or maybe we'll go there by train and take the launch downstream. Faster. So there's various ways you can go from Mayapur. Hare Krishna.